How much do you care about what other people think of you? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
So many people are so concerned about what others think of them, even more so than what God thinks of them. And that's when the fear of man can wreck and ruin your life. Now, anytime you start to value man's opinion over God's opinion, you fall into bondage and you start having trouble in your life. Freedom comes when you don't care what man thinks. You live your life to please God. So we're going to talk today about the fear of man. What can you and I do about the fear of man?
He can heal every scar with real truth, real love, real hope from his heart.
This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us today for a lesson that you'll surely relate to, because there is little question that everything we do in life has motivations behind it. Some things we do are driven by a desire to do the right thing, the godly thing. But other things we do are sometimes driven by fear, especially the fear of what other people might think of us. Pastor Jeff calls that the fear of man. And that is the title of today's message. Now, Pastor, you already touched on this, but before you get into the message today and tomorrow, explain more fully what exactly is the fear of man.
Well, Larry, that's a great question. To me, the fear of man means that you are more afraid of what a man can do to you or a public opinion than you are of what God says and what God thinks. So many people live under the fear of man. They're afraid, well, if I do this, what is so-and-so going to think? And what is so-and-so going to say? And they don't think in terms of what does God think about this? God wants us to fear him and not to fear man. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted.
We're going to be looking first at a passage in Proverbs chapter 29. So turn there now, if you can, and be ready as Pastor Jeff begins our lesson, explaining the unfortunate power that the fear of man can have over us.
Now, in that movie, Rocky III, Rocky was afraid of Clubber Lang. He was afraid of Mr. T, who played the character Clubber Lang, and he was a scary-looking guy and just kind of always in a bad mood and beat up Rocky really badly in the first fight they had, and he was afraid of that man, the fear of man. It's a big, big problem. So many people are so concerned about what others think of them, even more so than what God thinks of them, and that's when the fear of man can wreck and ruin your life. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25, the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. The fear of man brings a snare, it traps you, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted, and God will lift that person up and God will keep that person safe. Now, Joy Dawson has written a book called Intimate Friendship with God Through Understanding the Fear of the Lord. A long title, but she has some good things to say in this book. And one of her quotes is this: the fear of man is being more impressed with man's reaction to our actions than with God's reaction. It's when you value what man thinks more than you value what God thinks. Now, anytime you start to value man's opinion over God's opinion, you fall into bondage and you start having trouble in your life. Freedom comes when you don't care what man thinks. You live your life to please God. So we're going to talk today about the fear of man. What can you and I do about the fear of man? I want to give you three steps to breaking free from the fear of man. Step number one, recognize that the fear of man is a real issue. It's a real issue. It's something that we all have to deal with. It's something that we all tend to struggle with. Certain things in the Bible, you know, we'll kind of read over that and say, oh, that's not for me. That doesn't really apply to me. Oh, I don't have a problem with that. And maybe you're like that with the fear of man. You're saying, well, I don't have a problem with the fear of man. Well, let's not be so hasty, because if you're honest, you would have to admit that that is a potential problem. That's always lurking out there, the fear of man. And the reason it is a problem is because, first of all, we have a tendency to walk by sight and not faith. That's a big problem. The fear of man, when I start to be afraid of what others think, a lot of the time it's because of my tendency to walk by sight and not by faith. Because I can see things very clearly. And oftentimes when it comes to seeing through the eyes of faith, that's harder to see. And our eyes tend to focus on our mindset tends to go toward those things that we can see. And faith is an unseen thing. You have to focus on that which is unseen. When David faced Goliath, he was the only one that would face Goliath. No one else in the camp of the Israelites would face him because they were walking by sight, not by faith. And all they saw was a 9-foot-9-inch giant. And David saw God, who is greater and bigger and stronger and more powerful than any 9-foot-9-inch giant. And see, we have that tendency to walk by sight and not by faith. When Jesus came to the home of Mary and Martha after Lazarus had died, he had sent word that Lazarus' sickness was not unto death, but to the glory of God, that the Son of God should be glorified by it. He told the sisters that, Mary and Martha. But then Lazarus died, and Lazarus was buried, and Jesus came to the place where they buried him, said, roll away the stone. And she didn't want to do it. Martha didn't want to do it. Said, Lord, he stinks now. He's been in the tomb 4 days. And he said, did I not say to you, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? But see, sight said, this is over with. He is dead. And the Lord said, look not with the eyes of sight, but the eyes of faith. And so we have a tendency to do that. And because we have a tendency to walk by sight instead of faith, we can really fall into this fear of man, because man is someone you can see and God is someone that we can't see with our eyes. And the second reason we have a tendency to fear man, and the second reason it's a real issue, is we have a tendency to value the temporal over the eternal. The temporary things, the things on this earth over eternal things. Now, Moses is a great example of someone who didn't do that. The Bible says about Moses in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, that he endured ill treatment with the people of God, and he chose to cast his lot with the people of God rather than the passing pleasures of sin. And it says in verse 26, he considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Looking to the reward, that is great. That's how we're to live our lives, looking to what God has for us as a reward, looking to the eternal and not to the temporary. But we have a tendency to look at the temporary. I mean, how many people have been watching the stock market lately? Anybody? It's real easy to get afraid when you look at the stock market. It's real easy to think, oh no, what's going to happen tomorrow, and what's going to happen next week, and what's going to happen on November 4th, and how are all these things going to affect us? And you can get afraid if you do that. And we can just look to make decision, what is going to make me happy now for the moment? What's going to be best for me right now? And oftentimes what's best for us right now is not best in eternity. It's not best when you take the long look. And so there's that tendency and that pull in your life and in my life to look at the temporary over the eternal. And when it comes to the fear of man, doing things that will please men, that gives instant and immediate gratification, so to speak, in the sense of I don't lose face, I don't lose my position, I don't lose things because I'm pleasing these people that I really want to please. But what I do lose is the pleasure of God. And see, the pleasure of God is what matters in eternity. And see, that's the rub. So it's a real issue. We have to come to the grips with the fact that, hey, okay, I struggle with this. Now, step number two. to break free. Identify the areas in which the fear of man is manifested. There are specific areas where we really see the fear of man come to the forefront. First area has to do with ridicule. We often succumb to the fear of man when we sense ridicule, that somebody's going to make fun of us, that someone's going to laugh at us. You know, oftentimes when it comes to witnessing to somebody, tell that person about Christ, go across the street, talk to your neighbor about the Lord. You're sitting on an airplane, talk to this person next to you about the Lord. You just sense that in your heart from the Lord that you're supposed to talk to that person. And you think to yourself, I don't know what to say. I don't know this person. I don't know how they're going to receive me. They might not receive me at all. They might not like what I have to say, and they might make fun of me. Students in college, I know when I was in college at the University of Texas, if the Lord was getting demeaned in a college classroom, man, to think about standing up for the Lord amidst the students and amidst the professor who might be an atheist or something like that, and you're a 19-year-old kid, and to take a stand like that, boy, the fear of man is huge. And the fear of ridicule, what are they going to say? They might make fun of me. They might laugh at me. They might call me names. And we think to ourselves, most of us think, well, I'm not that smart. I don't know as much as Dr. So-and-so.
In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will return on From His Heart to explore the Apostle Paul's response to the intellectuals of his day who scoffed at him, and how he didn't let the fear of man stop him from God's plan for his life. Hey, do you know what our plan is here at From His Heart? Well, our mission statement sums it up. From His Heart exists to proclaim real truth, real love, and real hope from the loving heart of God to the lost and hurting, to lead them into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you give, you are part of the distribution process, fulfilling the Great Commission in a magnified way through broadcasting. If this is the desire of your heart to have an impact on the world, you can do that through your support of From His Heart this month. For your gift of any amount this month, we'll send you the series Fear No Evil and the booklet When Fear Meets Faith, both to say thank you for joining us in this mission. Just call 866-40-BIBLE to make your gift, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org and request them both when you make your gift. Now let's get back to today's message about the fear that can imprison us, called the fear of man. Here again is Pastor Jeff.
You know, one of the smartest guys who ever walked the earth was the Apostle Paul. I mean, Paul had an incredible mind, and God gave him such wisdom, and he had all this knowledge and wisdom from the Lord, and he had seen things, and he could put things together. You know, the Lord used him to write most of the New Testament. But even Paul had people make fun of him. Paul had people talk badly of him. And in the book of Acts, when he was in Athens, the scripture says that he began to engage the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. Acts 17, verse 18 says this, "And some also of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him and began to exchange in discussion. And some said, 'What is this babbler and his scrap heap learning trying to say?'" I mean, Paul should have said, "Hey, I'm the Apostle Paul. What are you calling me a babbler for? I mean, I'm well known. Who are you guys?" You know, but that had to hurt. In the Message version of the Bible, you know, which is pretty loose with translations sometimes, but they said, "What is this airhead telling us?" They called Paul an airhead in that version. Well, that had to hurt. See, if people make fun of you for taking a stand for Christ, you're not alone. They made fun of Paul, and they made fun of Jesus. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus, remember he went to the home of Jairus' daughter, the 12-year-old girl that was very, very sick, and he came to get Jesus, said, "Come to my house and heal my daughter." And Jesus went with him, and then they told him, "Don't bother the teacher anymore. The servants came and said, 'Your daughter's dead.'" And Jesus said, "Don't fear, you only believe." And Jesus went with him to the house, and the mourners had already gathered around the house. And they were weeping and they were wailing. And Jesus got there and Jesus said to those mourners, "Don't weep. The child isn't dead. She's only asleep." And the Bible says that they began laughing at him. King James said they laughed him to scorn. Can you just imagine that? Here is the Son of God, and there are the people pointing their finger, snickering, doubled over with laughter at the Son of God. Hey, ridicule is a huge area in which the fear of man causes us to shrink back and to not take a stand. But not only is there ridicule that causes us to really feel the fear of man, there's also isolation. We often succumb when we sense isolation. See, it's not only that you're going to laugh at me, it's not only that you're going to mock me and ridicule me, but you may disassociate with me. I may not fit in. I may not have any friends. Well, I might not be invited to the parties and in the social circles and stuff like that if I take a strong stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do? I just back off because I don't want to be isolated. I just want to fit in. And if the conversation gets a little raw, then, you know, I may not jump in with that, but I'm not going to say anything because I wouldn't want someone to say, "Oh, you're one of those," and to isolate me and not include me. Hey, if you're going to take a stand, a strong stand for Jesus, and really put what God thinks and what God says above anything and everything else, there are going to be some times where you have to just stand up in the midst of quote-unquote friends and say, "This is wrong. What you're doing is wrong, and I'm not going to be a part of that." And if people isolate you because of that, so be it. You know, that happens for people that really take a stand for Christ. They do get isolated. Paul got isolated. Look what he says in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. He said, "At my first offense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them." We fear that we'll be isolated. We fear that we won't fit in and that you feel the peer pressure and so you succumb to that. It's all part of the fear of man. And then often we succumb when we sense loss. I'm going to lose something here if I don't do what these people want me to do. Maybe it'll be a material loss or maybe it'll be a positional loss. You know, guys in business or ladies in business, they'll feel this. Pressure from the boss to lie, to cheat, to cook the books, to do things that are not right. And you have this boss that's encouraging you to do things that are not right so that you can produce sales or whatever it might be. And you say, "Oh, that's not right. Boy, my boss really wants me to do this. And he's kind of threatening that this would really affect my promotability or maybe my longevity in the company." I remember when I was working in the chemical business, I was at a sales meeting and they were talking about, what do you do if a customer wants to go to a strip joint and you're Southern Baptist? No lie, that was one of the questions. And one of the district managers chimed in and said, "You go anyway. You do what the customer wants to do because you want to keep the customer and you want to make the customer happy." And I remember thinking to myself, "I'm not going to do that. You can take my job away. I'm not doing that." But see, guys would feel the pressure. I had a friend of mine, one of the guys I worked with, and when he was put in that pressure cooker and everybody was at a bachelor party and they wanted to go to a strip joint, and I was telling him, I said, "Hey, I'm not going." "Oh, come on, just go." I said, "I'm not going." "Oh, just come on, go, and you don't even, just don't look." I said, "No, I'm not doing that." And my friend Scott, he went. Scott was a believer. My friend Daryl, he was a believer. Both those guys went. Both of them felt terrible. They felt like sellouts. And they told me, they said, "It spoke volumes to me that you didn't go. Even when the boss was exerting pressure, you didn't go." And see, we often sense, I might suffer loss. And so I'll just go along so I can get along so I don't lose out. And you know who's the greatest picture in the Bible of a sellout? Pontius Pilate. You think about Pilate. Pilate was governor in Judea. Pilate was the one who delivered Jesus up to be crucified. He had the authority. The Jews could not crucify Jesus unless Pilate had delivered him over and delivered him up. They didn't have the authority to put Jesus to death. And the Bible said that Pilate knew that it was for envy that they had delivered Jesus up to him. He knew that Jesus was innocent. He said, "I find no guilt in this man. I find no fault in him." He said that more than once. See, Pilate wasn't a dummy. You don't get to be governor by being a dummy. And he knew what was going on. And he wanted to release Jesus, but he didn't release Jesus. He delivered him up to be crucified. Why? It's because of something the people said to him, those Jewish religious leaders said to him when he wanted to release him. They said in John 19, verse 12, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar." What were they trying to say in that phrase, in those sentences? Hey, Pilate, if you don't do what we want you to do, then we're going to make life really tough on you, because we're going to go squeal to Caesar, and we're going to tell Caesar that there was this man who tried to make himself a king and you didn't do anything about it. And we're going to see to it that you lose your position here as governor of Judea, and you can kiss your job goodbye. And there was the fear of man that was all over Pilate, and he made the worst decision of his whole life, all because of the fear of man. See, we often succumb when we sense that we're going to lose something. We're going to lose our jobs, or we're going to lose money, or we're going to lose something that we deem valuable. And then lastly, we often succumb when we sense physical harm. Physical harm. I mean, that's the one that we think about a lot. You know, hey, they're going to kill me. And there's that fear that I might die here. We read stories in books like Fox's Book of Martyrs about all these people who gave their lives because they wouldn't deny Christ. I mean, all of the disciples, except John, were killed for their faith. Peter was crucified upside down because he wouldn't deny Christ. Paul had his head cut off because he wouldn't deny Christ. John, who ended up dying of natural causes, was boiled in oil and exiled on the island of Patmos. He just didn't die. They tried to kill him. He didn't die. Ended up dying as an old man from natural causes in Ephesus. But they all took a stand for Christ and said, "So what if you kill me? I am going to continue to preach the word."
May we all have that kind of dedication and perseverance to the cause of Christ. Be sure to join us next time as Pastor Jeff concludes this message on how to handle the fear of man. It's actually the fear of disappointing other people more than disappointing God. And it can overwhelm us when we are too concerned about what others think rather than what God thinks. Of course, this is just one of seven messages in Pastor Jeff's powerful series, God's Answer for Your Fears. If you'd like a copy of this series on CD, as an MP3 download, or on a USB flash drive, ask for God's Answer for Your Fears when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you so much for being with us today. We're excited that you joined us, and we surely hope that you'll be back next time for part two of this eye-opening and convicting message, The Fear of Man. Join us then when Pastor Jeff Shreve will again open God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from his heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. You can find out more about that when you go to FromHisHeart.org.